It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I really don't have a right to be here. I am 53 years old. The first time I attended church, I was 10 days old. Out of the 53 years, I have missed about 7 Sunday morning services. And I was en route to different places when I missed those. Never been sick in my life. I don't have to tell you that. You can look at me and see that I haven't suffered too much. I have been to all of the general conferences of the United Pentecostal Church. I attended the first Pentecostal convention of my life when I was 1 year old. I have missed only 3 out of 53 years. I have sat under some of the greatest teachings that a man has ever heard. I was raised in a home under one of the greatest men that ever lived. I don't really have a right to hear anymore. If I never hear anything else, I would be the world's greatest fool. If I missed the coming of the Lord. There are people that are in earshot of this building tonight that has never heard it one time. And I'm sorry. I appreciated what was said today in the service. We're so foolish if people that haven't heard are going to be saved anyway. We ought to close the doors and close the book. We're sending more people to hell if they're going to be saved anyway. I had a woman who rushed up to the pulpit not long ago. Said, I wish I hadn't come tonight. He said, what's wrong? He said, if I hadn't come tonight, I wouldn't have to obey it. He said, I hate it. Now I've got to do it. Feel it, thank you, my friend. Feel it. Feel it. What right have I to stay in the presence of God so much? And so many never even come to breath. This is dead. God help me to never let it become common. God help me. He seeketh such to worship him. You'll never be able to call that back if you missed it. You missed a red letter day by not hearing that Bible study today. To worship. I've never been so desperate. You know, God let us feel a call of desperation. I've never been so desperate in my life. I want God to walk the walls of my heart. I want him to walk my spirit. I want the Holy Ghost to come in and spread me. But the only way it can come in is me let it in. I'm not going to chase me down and wait till I get through, but it's waiting for me. I wonder, do you want the Lord to do something to you tonight? I know, I feel like I know what's expected of me. Basically, I am a hellfire, brimstone, screaming preacher. I know that. But I can't preach that unless I feel it. But I do want God to do something for me tonight. Maybe before this is over, the Lord will let me really speak to you the way I would like to. But if you have your Bible, as you open it, I want you to breathe a prayer that God will help me to deliver myself to you tonight. I'm glad that my wife and my youngest son is in the service with us tonight. Trust and pray that my oldest son, who is my associate, his wife, and perhaps their Theo may be here before this meeting is over. But most of all, I'm glad my father's here. Oh, I feel good when my wife is with me. Nobody else prays, I know she prays, but honey, I'm sorry if I have to make a choice. I'd rather have my father with me. And I feel in here tonight, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Let me talk to you just a minute before I read. Take an account of your heart. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. You know whether you're ready to meet God or not. I wish that I knew that every preacher that has credentials with United Pentecostal Church was ready to meet God. I'm sorry, I just don't believe that we're 100%. I wish I knew every saint in the church that I've pastored for 22 years was ready, but they're not. And I believe that every one of us that's here tonight, after hearing what we've heard, feeling what we've felt, some of us feel we know better than anybody else. It's not what I see. It's not what I hear you say. But you know. Let me beg of you tonight, if you're not ready. Backslider, you're here. Sinner friend, you're here. Mother and dad, you're here. Let me beg of you. Look into your own heart. Look into your own soul. You don't have time to make a mistake. Somehow I feel that I don't have time to go back and redo anything. I need to do it right the first time. How do you feel about it, my friend? I would just as soon go to glory from Bogalusa Bible Conference. It's the many place in the world. And it's up to me. You have your Bible turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Then I will be going into Mark chapter 10. Then I'll go to the first chapter of the book of Ruth. First Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul speaking here. Verse 7, for I will not see you now, by the way. But I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door. Everybody say a great door. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. There's been a door open. It is an effectual door, but there are many adversaries. This is the man that said, when I would do good, that's the frame that he's talking in. There is a door open, and see it. It's an effectual door, but there are many adversaries. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. Tremendous door opened. But then there was an adversary, the next verse. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The book of Ruth, beautiful book, beautiful story, statement there that I'd like to read to you. Chapter 1 and verse 21. The statement of Naomi when she comes home, that I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? I went out full, and the Lord brought me home empty. I want to use for a subject tonight, from the standpoint of adversaries waiting for you, doors open, everything in the world in your favor. But I want to use the subject simply one word, cheated. 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 Everybody repeat that word. Come on, say it. Cheated. A word that you don't even want to use. Cheated. Our Lord, stand by us this night. And above all, reach into the heart of every person that's here. God, when I heard the scene of the siren and saw the flashing lights on the way to church, I couldn't help but breathe a prayer, God, wherever it's going, please be merciful. You know which one of us are nearest eternity tonight. God, I ask you, help me, help me, help me. The man that needs stirring, God, let me reach in to the melting pot of his heart and help me to stir. I ask it in Jesus' name. for the bodies to remain. You may be seated. Thank you. Seated. I never like to be seated. The first time I ever met my wife, to know her, to see her, and to notice that she was a beautiful young girl. She was in the sixth grade. I was in the sixth grade. And I had been playing marbles out on the school ground. My boy grabbed all the marbles and he ran. He ran into the home economic room, homemaking class. And I thought, buddy, if you can go in there, I can go in after you. And she was coming out the door, and I hit her and knocked her books all over the place. And I stopped and reached down and picked up a book, forgot about the boy that I wanted to get a hold of, and I handed them to her, and I looked at her. And I thought, well, where have I been all of these 12 years that I've been alive? Found out who she was, and I called her that evening. When I got home and when I hung up the phone, just before I hung up, I got all the courage that a 12-year-old boy could get. I said, someday, I'm going to marry you. You don't ever question my judgment anymore. But I didn't like to be treated then when I was after a cheater. And I made up my mind, boy, you're not going to do me that way. I don't want to be cheated. You're not really aware how much you're cheated in the world. Over in our part of the country, you know, gasoline's high enough to start with. And some of those pumps will not stop on the exact penny. And it says with a sign, stop on the mark, or pay the penny. And you can't stop it on the mark. And I thought, well, it doesn't amount to very much. But 500 customers come in there a day. They pay a full penny for a half penny of gas. But of course, surely, you don't think anything about that, but you just think about it for a moment. That amounts to $2.50 of overpayment a day. And you figure that for a month and for a year, and this company has probably 100 stations in my city, and they're all just alike. So it does amount to something. Strange as it may seem, when you go to the supermarket, you buy stuff that's already weighed, and there's the amount, the weight, how much it costs. Don't think they're giving you the paper cut that it's setting in, or the styrofoam dish that it's in, or the plastic that's over it. If it's a chicken, that plastic wet absorbent thing they put on the inside of it, and are you paying for it? Amen? Cheated. Well, that's not much. No, that's not much. I'm aware of that. But the world is evolving around being able to cheat somebody. Cheated. One of the men in our church come to me and wanted to buy something I had. And his wife said, Brother Fox,
I'm afraid for him to buy from you.
Martha Bautista, Doris, why are you afraid?
He said, because I know that every deal you make is a good deal. And if you didn't think you were getting a good deal, you wouldn't sell it at that price. I said, you're right. Hey, you teach me once. I might not can help that. That's your fault. But if you teach me twice, it becomes my fault. Peter. In doing business, buying and selling, we are not always aware of the cost of the deal that we're making. You really don't know. Thought I have to wait. Saw a man driving down the freeway in our city. Had a big sign on both doors. Said, this car is a lemon. Had one on the back. Said, I bought it at such and such a dealer. And they won't do anything about it. This is a lemon. What he was trying to tell everybody, I bought a car, but they cheated me. Be honest with me. How many of you ever been cheated? And I lived in your state. And I pastored the church, Brother Vanover is pastor tonight. Down at the fork of the road in a little place called Whitehall. There used to be a store in the fork of the road. And the man that run the store was a horse trader. Sorry about that. If you're one, well, I'm talking about you. And, oh, he was a healer and a dealer. I actually saw him take two polish and paint a horse. On his leg. To make him, you know, white legs over the hood. And he sold him back to the man he bought him from. And I walked into the store the day after it rained and the white come off of the horse and the man was there about to shoot him because he cheated me. What a pity. Nowhere but this side of the Sabine would that happen. Cheated. Not always do we understand the ramifications of what we're doing. But we stretch out deals that we make in this world, in the carnal, that we take just about anything that you can shove at us in the spiritual. Hear me. I have a young man in my church that he took me for his ability and told him he became general manager, one of the largest companies in the U.S. And told him that we want you to sign a contract with us. Make fantastic money. But if he would do it himself, these companies, the clientele that he services, would all be his. And no telling what kind of money he would take He wants you to become general manager. You will also be the treasurer, write all the checks for this company. You will be the man. But down into that contract, he brought it to the office, Brother Frost. I have been cheated. They made him sign a fine-printed contract that he would not pull away from that company and ever start this kind of a company again under any provision. He said, I cannot believe that I signed a contract like that. There was ever a time that we as Pentecostals need to look at the fine print of the deal that we're making tonight. We need to read the terms of the contract. Christ of a man, his intentions, whether he knows it or not, has a direct effect upon his destiny. Well, I didn't know that it was going to be this way. You should have looked at the contract, the cost of a mistake. You don't have the commodity. You don't have the time. You don't have what it takes to go back and redo a mistake. No. I believe with my heart that there are some decisions being made in this convention that will determine the destiny of some of we teachers and many of you saints and all of you sinners. You hear me tonight? That it doesn't always turn out like I want it to. I try to be very cautious about which direction I go. But in doing everything that I know to do, still, I end up sometime on the short end of the deal. Now you hear me right here. I'm going to preach to you in a little bit. I don't believe that I have ever felt as much like I've been cheated as much as I do today. But of course, I don't agree with you. I'm sure that you will. I don't believe that any man really intends to be lost. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. Anybody in his right mind doesn't really want to be lost. Is a common practice among us, we Pentecostals, to fully acknowledge that I am not what I could be. I'm not what I ought to be. If You say that in your heart. Nobody else knows it. But you have been cheated. There has never been a time that we need to be what we can be in God. Like right now. Right now. Right now. Why is it that we have allowed the will of God to become like the will of the wisp to us? And we really don't know how to find the perfect will of God. I don't believe there's a permissive will. You're either in the will or you're out of the will. But we really don't take the time to search it out and to find what the will of God is. I'm missing the will of God. In our consecration, in our conviction, how many of you have conviction? I have never known of anything so needed in the church today as a real baptism of conviction. My conviction. Mine. Not somebody else's, but mine. 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 I'm not what I am because somebody else was this. Well, I know my dad has made such an impression upon me, but I am not what I am because he was what he is. It had to come here first for me to be what I am. Conviction. When you miss the will of God, whose false is it? Is it God? Or is it our inability to really read the fine print of the contract that we're about to make? You end up on the short end of the deal. And it's not always what you like, what happens. But I wonder, really, what it all has cost us. If I was what I am supposed to be all the time, just a minute now. If you are what you should be all the time, if our church was what they ought to be all the time, I wonder what it would be like tonight. Peter. For the penny I have so much, but yet I have so little. I long to see the day that I don't talk about it happening. I really want to see it happen. Brother Penny, in all of his spirit here, Daddy, I'm sorry, but I can't put it in a book that I treat didn't have any clothes to wear. I don't know what it's like to clean out a
it quick and hard, and scrub it, and wash it, make a mattress out of pine straw, and go in and build a church that stands to this day. I walked into a good church. When my ministry started, there was already good churches. 34 years ago, I preached in Bogalusa, Louisiana. Revival, good church. I've heard about it all my life. How it used to be, but oh dear God, I've never been so hungry to see it happen now like it ought to happen. When are we going to wake up? We shout about praying for the sick, but there's enough money spent on doctors in our church to build churches and evangelize the world. Every man that's even got a feeling that I'm called to preach, we could send him anywhere in this world he wants to go. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not through with this point yet. How do you feel when you get up and preach? Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil. Lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. Then you see that saint of God spend hundreds and thousands of dollars in a hospital trying to get rid of the thing that you prayed for. Hey, I don't know what any place else to put it. Place us to put it. Box of my feet. Oh, but of course we have miracles, yeah. You can testify of headaches. You can testify of things that are unseen. For every one miracle you see, there's probably 50 that goes by that's untapped. Is that the percentage you're looking for? It's less than 60-80 for the Chinese. My old dad walked back down a railroad track, preaching. 5 days fasted because there was nothing to eat. I've never been through anything like that, but neither can I write it in a book. But when I got to the top, a plane began to back up, and I stood there and waited till it stopped, and I started around the end of it. It was switching, and when I got almost to the end, it just backed up a little further, and when it finally stopped, I started to step across the railroad track, and there laid a silver dollar in the middle of the track. Me going to the grocery store to get groceries took no money. I can't say that, Brother Kenny, so I have to come to a conclusion. There's some things that I've preached, that I've taught, that I've cried, that I've prayed, that I've sung about, but still not in my reach tonight, and I'm trying to read the fine print of a contract because I don't want to be cheated anymore. Maybe I'm not in tune with you tonight. Maybe it's just me. But oh, I get so tired of preaching, dragging people to the altar almost by the hair of their head. And get down there. And we pray and pull and push and climb. Everybody takes their turn and laying hands on them. And finally they turn the flutter a little bit. And we'll jump up and down. They got the Holy Ghost. That really the way you want it? Is that the way that he intended for it to be? How long has it been, Brother Kenny, since you scooped them up in your arms and carried them out to the car, put them in the back seat, took them home, dumped them over in the bed? For 3 days they laid there speaking in tongues. Bethel Tabernacle is not the only church. Will you let me make myself at home? Bethel Tabernacle is not the only church that's plagued with backsliding. Revolution is running over with backsliders tonight. New Orleans is running over with backsliders tonight. Alexandria, Louisiana is full of backsliders tonight. Are you going to lay it at the feet of the power of God that he's not able to keep a man when he comes to the Lord? How could it be that at the entrance he was seated? Thank God for the pew. I looked at a youth director in that church Sunday night, shaking under the presence of God, just a few years ago, come in with hair down his back, high on drugs, went to an altar, and God delivered that boy. And I stood there and said, "Oh God, I want to thank you for him." But then I could count 50 more that came in the same shape, that came to the same altar, that went out of there and said, "Oh, I can't make it." Cheated. Well, you know, they didn't want to pay the price. They just didn't want to say, "Wait a minute. Before this meeting is over, the Lord will let me. The message you gave me the other day that I want to preach to you. Listen, my friend. You're the mother. You're giving birth to the child. The child had nothing to say about being born into this world. And we preach to him, come to an altar, repent, and you might get it next year." I wonder what we would be. Hey, I'm talking to some of you tonight. You don't even know where some of your kids are. There's more of our Pentecostal preachers' boys that's lost going to hell than city wives almost than anybody else. Oh, well, Brother Fox, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, you can't put them in the cross. Look, my friend. Look. You're supposed to have more than any of them. Really, what's happening to it? What could it be? Hey, Mom. Where's the girl tonight? You should have had her at the Bible study today and let her hear the story. Unwanted pregnancy. Gone to the dogs. Brother Lloyd told me a tragic story today. That a dad, his daughter, found out she didn't have to listen to this Pentecostal way and ask to be moved out of a Pentecostal preacher's home. Died last week in a car wreck, away from God, out of touch with God, body broken. He told me every bone in her body was broken. Gone! Gone! And yet we want to take our tongue and our teeth
and say that we've done everything we could do. Things over there. Oh, Brother Fuss, I can't believe that. You better believe it, my friend. They did not go very far. They only went a day's journey. Just a day's journey. Brother Foss, I'm not far away. I'm almost like I ought to be. I'm almost what I used to be. Honey, you don't have to get far. Just a little ways. A day's journey. They move. The first thing that happened, their boys become involved with the daughters of Moab. How do you get on the outskirts of the church? Don't really get in. Just play around the edge. Don't really buckle down. Don't really get under the load. You're not far, but you're far enough. How many of our kids are marrying children of Moab tonight? I'm not far, Brother Foss. Oh, God, that's what plagues me. I had a long talk with my son just the other day, Gary. We were driving down the road. I said, Gary, whatever you do when you get ready to get married, honey, marry somebody that's died in the world, apostolic, that loves the truth, that loves God, that loves everything that it ought to be. Whatever you do. But sir, that's the first thing that happens. Had a man in my church come and say, Brother Moss, thinking about getting a pool table for my children to put in there. Oh, don't say, oh, ho, 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 ho. Some of our churches has got them.
I'm trying, Daddy.
Oh, preacher, hear me tonight. If you got kids that's unsaved, you need to go home and put up a life somewhere. So cheated. And it wasn't long until Naomi heard, hey, this corn in Israel, hey, look, the church will go through dry places, but give her a little time, Brother Tenney. Give her a little time, Brother Tenney. Hey, give her a little time. Don't jump up and say, I'm going to get out. I'm going to go off a whoring after something else. God, give us a baptism of convictions tonight. If nobody else goes to heaven, I'm going. Oh, if nobody else goes, he said I could go. And I'm going to do my best to make it there. Naomi kept hearing this corn. There's corn. There's revival. We had a family move to our city. Backsliders. About 4 years ago. And came from the state of California. And it was such a beautiful thing. The way it happens. One of the ladies went and knocked on the door of this home. And there was the man with a beard and mustache and, oh, he was just long hair. And this woman walked up and knocked on the door. And when Sister Goodman walked to the door, she saw her. God found us. God found us. Hey, sir. Don't go so far that somebody can't reach you. When the ministry can't reach you. When preaching can't touch you. When preachers can't get a hold of you. Son, you're out of reach. It's nothing for you to be able to go out of a service like tonight and say, it didn't do anything to me. You ought to be praying, oh God, help that preacher. Help him somehow to get into the smeltering pot of my heart. Help him touch me. Help him, God. Corn in Israel. Corn in Israel. Corn in Israel. Corn. In Israel, I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going back. Hey, if you hear me tonight, you're a day's journey. Turn around. There's corn in Israel tonight. There's corn in Israel tonight. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Oh, I'm going home. 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 Got home. Left beautiful. The Bible spoke of her beauty. Left with everything. Come home and started gleaning in the corner of the field. Somebody said, is this not Naomi? Beautiful. But oh, suddenly something rode across her soul. I'm at home. I found corn again. But I've been so cheated. I've lost so much. I've lost so much. Isn't this Naomi? No! Don't call me Naomi, please don't. I went out of here. I had everything. I had it all. And now he's brought me back. But I come home empty. God has dealt bitterly with me. And he's afflicted me. Please don't call me Naomi. A boy that's on my church board tonight. A boy that I heard my dad so many hours weep. 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 I didn't raise him for the world. I didn't raise him to drink. I didn't raise him to do those things. I give him to you when he was a baby. I was working out in my garden, and I lived across the street from my only brother, 4 years my senior, and I didn't hear him walk up behind me, and I was there on my knees in that garden, tears running down my face, and suddenly I was aware that somebody had come near, and my brother, Brother Tenney Orbley, you know him, Orbley put his hand over on me and said, "Bud, what's wrong?" I looked up at him. I said, "I'm going to move, son. I'm going to move." "Why? Why do you want to move?" "You know, I moved out here to be close to you, but it hasn't done any good. I've been here 9 years now. I've lived across the street from you, and you're still away from God. And I can't live here and watch you go to hell. I'm going to get away from here. I'm going to move. I'm going to move." Big old tears run down his face. He said, "Bud, don't move. Please don't move. Stay here. Stay here." And it wasn't long till I saw him come to an altar. I watched the Lord baptize him with the Holy Ghost. And he raised up his hands and he began to speak in tongues and love God with his heart. Great day in my old daddy's life when he saw both of his boys full of the Holy Ghost. The day that I named my brother to the church board, Daddy wept and wept and wept and wept. Oh, but sir, let me tell you the real heart of the story. When my brother got up from the altar, the first thing he told me, I said, "Bud, welcome back. Welcome home." But he said, "Arlen, I stayed out long enough that I lost both of my kids and my friend. That's been 14 years ago now, and they're both still lost, baptized in a denominational church, away from God. Every time he comes around an altar and he prays, I look at him and I think, 'You wasn't far, son. You was just a day's journey, but you've been cheated so much. You've lost so much.' Look, I'm preaching to somebody in this place tonight. I'm talking to somebody that you're about to lose the most valuable thing you've ever had, and you're going to wake up and cry in the middle of the night, 'I'm cheated, I'm cheated, I'm cheated, I'm cheated.'" Cheated. 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 I'm almost afraid to go much further. I don't want to cheat you tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost making a heart tender. I don't want to go too far. But Daddy, if you're not what you ought to be, for God's sake, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Hey, fellow pastor, let me talk to you a minute. And in the conversation I had with my boy, I said, "It's strange, son. You know, so many of our preachers, it's strange. They looked at the Lord and said he saved others, but himself he cannot save. What a haunting thought it would be to me to know that I've put so many homes back together. I've nursed so many babies that belong to other people. and then my own flesh and blood go to hell because I'm cumbered about with so many things. Hey, preacher, you better hear me tonight. Nobody's going to carry the burden for your kids like you carry it. And you cannot let them go in order to carry somebody else's burden. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it, Daddy. Don't do it. You may not agree with me, but it's the will of God for the sons of Aaron to step into the priesthood. Brother Tenney, it couldn't be anything else but the will of God for Tommy to be a preacher with a daddy like he's got. And I don't say Tommy disrespectful. It's just for me to identify him. It would have been a mistake, Brother Cox, for me to be anything else but what I am tonight. It's the will of God for your children, preacher, to be in the work of God and to be doing something in the kingdom, but you're rocking them to sleep in the bed of carnality. Oh, it's not my place to preach to you. But please forgive me. Don't resent me tonight. Don't resent me tonight. Please don't resent me. Please don't. You sit around the table and discuss the problems of the church. Hey, it takes a special touch from God for you to listen to everything wrong in a church and still have faith in the people of God. But your children haven't had that touch yet. And because you're rocked in the bed of carnality and you're not close enough to God, you're sending your kids railroaded straight to a devil's hell. And they're wondering, my God, who's right, who's wrong, who's this, who's that, my God. Hey, don't go home if I fail tomorrow, if I lose my soul tomorrow, Brother Tenney. Don't go home and tell your kids about it. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. I've got to come to a close now. I've already been with you too long, but let me. Broken homes. Divorces in our churches. Almost like who's who. I heard one preacher say, I can't wait till I get the forward. I want to see who's dropped out next. Honey, I don't even want to read it. I wish they wouldn't even print it. Just let me find it out some other way. My God, my God, my God. Broken homes. Divorces everywhere. Is it because just a day's journey? We've been cheated. Hey, your churches have been so cheated. You can't blame anybody else. You're not going to blame God. I'm not going to let you blame God. Bethel Tabernacle, if you're cheated, it's my fault. I want to accept that blame, but oh, don't tear me apart. Please don't tear me apart. I need you. United Pentecostal Church, I need you tonight more than I've ever needed you in my life. Don't take me apart. Please don't. Destroyed families. And finally, if the rapture takes place tonight, You don't believe that it could, supposing you are wrong. Supposing I am right. I got up this morning and I walked out of my room. Beautiful morning. Crisp. Cold. Looking at the frost when the sun began to hit it. It looked like diamonds sparkling in the grass. Beautiful. Beautiful. I got up and walked outside and I said, God, I looked for you last night. You didn't come. But I'm going to look for you today. I looked for him today, and oh, I thought after Brother Glass washed my spirit today, I thought, oh God, why don't you come right now? Because I feel so close to you. I'm with your people, and I'm with your preachers, and I'm with men that love you. What better time could you come? But he didn't come today. He hasn't come yet tonight, but I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him, but oh, friend, on the other hand, I want to say, wait a minute, God, wait just a minute, wait! Wait, 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 because I know there's some in my church at home. If he comes tonight, they're going to go to a red hot hell. And that hell is going to lick up around their very soul. And they're going to scream, oh God, I wasn't far, I was just a little ways. And I've been so cheated. If he'll let me get home, I've got one more sermon I want to preach to him. I haven't preached to my church in 4 weeks. We've been in a revival. Oh, but it's eaten me alive. God, if you'll just wait till I get home. Let me have one more time. Just one more. But say, sir, it's going to come to a close. Hell is going to claim what belongs to it. Heaven is going to call what belongs to her. Whether you believe it or not, some of us are going. Oh, I know everybody talking about it ain't going, but some of us are going. Sinner friend, lukewarm man, playboy preacher. Let me talk to you a minute. I'm sorry if I missed you tonight. You see, probably this is the last time that a preacher will ever get to try to reach you. I'm sorry. Lukewarm pastor, lukewarm saint, backslider friend, hell-bound young man, young woman. If I missed you tonight, please forgive me. But I'll give you what God gave to me. I tried not to cheat you. Look at my hands. Come on, look at them. I want everybody to look at them. If there's anything else I can do to clean these hands, tell me. I'm trying to wash them in Calvary tonight. But I've preached to somebody here. I know I won't sleep tonight. It'll be in the wee hours of the morning when finally it lifts off of me. Brother Tenney knows what I'm saying. I wrestled God today. Brother Needham, Brother Cox so graciously took me to dinner after the service today. He said, Brother Voss, you want to go somewhere else? I told him, Brother Needham, 2 hours and a half, 2 church time. I need to go to the room. The last word Sister Needham said when I got out of the car was, Brother Foss, rest well. But honey, there was no rest. I tried to for a minute, but there was no rest. Oh, God. I'm sorry, sir. But if I didn't reach you tonight, it might be that you're out of reach.
whoever you are with this message in your bosom, don't you cheat this audience tonight. Let's wait. God is choosing to talk to you face to face. And the vessel that He's given this message to, you better obey Him. The Lord has spoken to you. What more can I add to it? Don't go any further. If He hasn't reached you, don't let Him say, let Him alone. Please don't. Cheated. Whoever you are, while He's in this place like this, it's dangerous to be here. Don't walk away. Let me beg you, meet Him at an altar tonight. While we're all praying, would you just get up and say, Brother Foss, no matter who you are, preacher, saint, mother, dad, child, daughter, son, grandma, grandpa, whoever. Brother Foss, I need to talk to Him, and I'm going to come talk to Him a little while. Would you, while we're praying and everybody's talking to God, just get up and for whatever reason, come on to the altar and talk to Him. Would you do it? Don't worry about what people think. I don't care what you think about me, sir. Sure, I know I'm not supposed to cry and let you see it, but I don't care. I've got to do something. I've been cheated so long. I've been cheated so long.
Too far from the shore. Drifting too far from the shore. Drifting too far.
He wants to reason with you.
You are drifting,
oh God,
too far.
Is this all? Or is somebody else going to come? I want to talk to Him, Brother Paul. I want to talk to Him.
From the shore.
Hey, man. Hey, preacher.
Drifting.
Why don't you bring them to the altar tonight? Let's go talk it over.
Turn to Jesus.
I feel like I need to talk to Him, Father. I don't want to be cheated any longer. I don't want to be cheated any longer.
Too far from the shore.
Pray, church, pray. another time. Oh, you know time
seems too far from the shore. You are drifting.